Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like Steven, we sell scented sweatshirts. And the Shopify customer service team helped us so much. And I would say we had questions at 3, 4 a.m. They were there.
For sure. And I think it's why they help turn browsers into buyers.
Totally.
So if you want to manufacture true crime leggings in Guatemala and sell them in Indonesia, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase, today.
That's shopify.com/bookclub. shopify.com/bookclub.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my new series, Parrish. My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from life. You know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Celebrity Book Club.
Who's that knocking at the door? It's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood.
It's books.
It's gossip.
I'm shook.
It's memoirs.
It's martinis.
It's Studio 54.
It's
Celebrity Book Club.
Come read it while it's hot.
Celebrity Book Club.
Tell your secrets, we won't talk.
Celebrity Book Club.
No boys are allowed.
Celebrity Book Club.
Say it loud and proud.
Celebrity Book Club.
Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Hey, best friend.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Oh. Hey, business partner.
Hey, one of my best business partners, girlfriends, makeup artists, longtime collaborators, and also my sister's real estate agent. How are you?
I am doing pretty good, despite the fact that I haven't gotten a lot of projects lately, and I'm going through menopause.
You know, that's tough, but you just have to remember, you have worked so hard, and it's okay to take a break.
That's so true. God, I'm so excited right now. Kind of, let's get out of the skit formation so we can kind of let our listeners
know
in.
Why we're even sort of
talking about
mentally
business.
Sort of at a women's business conference outside of Atlanta right now, because we read Vivica A. Fox's book.
Came out in 2018. Didn't even know.
No. Kind of slipped by randomly.
Yeah.
It's called Every Day I'm Hustling. Vivica A. Fox is, of course, one of the most well-known Black American actresses in Hollywood for many, many years.
Set it off. Independence Day. Two Can Play That Game, our literally favorite movie.
One of our favorite movies of all time. And, of course, Kill Bill.
Ugh, I can't even wait to get into her training for Kill Bill.
Oh my God, going to China?
Yeah.
And she also... Okay.
Owner of a wig and clothing line, businesswoman.
She also... What's the show that she had? Vivica's Black Magic?
Oh, right. Host of Vivica's Black Magic, which kind of came out on Lifetime after Magic Mike, which was a reality show about male exotic dancers making it in the biz in Vegas.
Which is a category we haven't seen, and...
I've seen one episode of Vivica's Black Magic. And
is it so like Pussycat Dolls and she's being the Robin Anton? Or no, she's not like... She's not just dancing.
No,
she's
just
judging. Okay.
And I think like I also did see it like when the show was out. And I feel like I was at my dad's house watching Lifetime. And
sure.
I'm sure I turned it off when he came in.
Right.
Because
you were like, this is too trashy, and it's going to trigger him.
Turn him on too much.
Whoops.
Well, as we know, which there's so much to talk about, but...
Yeah. You're talking about how 50 Cent is gay.
Well, about how she got called out for being homophobic because someone asked if her male dancers dance for men. And she said, absolutely not. These men dance for women because it's about like giving the ladies a night.
Right, but she was like being more about female empowerment. No. Yes. And she wasn't being homophobic.
Which I fully agree. She was just like, this is just about a girl's night.
Nor was she being homophobic when she implied that 50 was gay on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen.
Because she rimmed him.
So, this book is...
It's a memoir, but it's also a business
book. And then halfway through the book, it turns into just talking shit about 50 Cent for like 50 pages. And it's like, because she's not really being that like juicy memoir vibes the whole time. It's mostly just like, it's framed as lessons and just being like, and this is what you have to do to prove your worth. And this is why you need to not take the job that you don't want and make a list of your goals. And like, that's most of the book. And then it's like page 130. She's like, so here's the deal. Curtis Jackson is the devil. And the devil will have fine eyes and a six pack. And that's why you need to watch out. And then you're like,
and the chapter is literally called like fine eyes and a six pack. And just been like, the devil shows up in mysterious ways. And I traced that devil's six pack for 2 years. It's also amazing because the 50 Cent chapter begins with her being like, I wasn't going to write this chapter. It's also written in like, if you've seen Two Can Play That Game, it's kind of written very talking to the camera style.
Yeah, so that movie is one of the best movies ever, partially because she's constantly turning to the camera and addressing camera, kind of like, you know, almost like Sex and the City season one, the confessionals, like she'll introduce characters. So she introduces Gabrielle Union's character as Connie Spaulding. And she goes, Connie's a different kind of hoe. Connie's a lay on her back, do whatever it takes to get your man kind of hoe. And she's just like driving in a convertible down the LA freeway. Like
she's, and what I love so much in this book, since we're such fans of that movie, and I'm like literally like shaking in my seat. Like she gave you that kind of total like AV club film knowledge behind the scenes about Two Can Play That Game that I wasn't expecting. You don't get that where she's like, she shopped for her own outfit for that yellow pantsuit in that scene. And I think it was Versace. Mm. And she was like, the wardrobe person got mad at me. And I was like, I have to look bomb. And so she got that pantsuit. And the woman at the store was like, what color is the car you're driving? And she's like, red. And she's like, ketchup and mustard. And so that's why she wears the yellow pantsuit when she says the famous line, Connie Spaulding is a lay on your back.
It's an iconic look. And that red convertible is very iconic. And it's almost a canary yellow. I mean, I wouldn't say it's mustard.
Yes. No, it's not mustard. Although it is canary. I guess, but it's yellow
it
French's.
It is French's mustard.
Yeah.
Because when we usually talk about mustard in a apparel context, we're referring to this more muted 70s so mustard.
We're talking about a Madewell mustard.
Right. Madewell mustard.
But...
okay, wait. So I read the... I listened to the audiobook of this, and she does this little, like... to herself, like, almost after every line. Just, like, I just pulled up a random page here. Like, this is what it would be like. I was on a basketball court when one of my girlfriends told me she was pregnant. This was junior year. My first thing was to tell her I was sorry. And you're just like, okay, so you're just kind of like chuckling to yourself throughout this entirety.
Reading it, I was wondering if she just, this is a dictate. I think a lot of memoirs are dictating vibes.
Or you think she was like dictating to like a tape recorder and someone else was.
I was imagining it just.
You know what's weird is the ghostwriter's name is Kevin O'Leary.
Oh, I noticed that. And I was like, what if like actually Kevin O'Leary like.
Of Shark Tank
wrote this? Because like, I could see some.
Conservative. Well, yes.
Because she's very Shark Tank in this book. Yeah. It's all about like knowing your numbers and like leaving the club when you realize like you're around hanger-ons. And just like, I stopped giving money out to like random fake ass friends 10 years ago because like, my friend defaulted on car payments and
I mean her whole section about just like stop like paying for your friends because they just think that you're a checking account once now, you start to make money now and I'm looking at you with any accusatory look at all. I'm not saying oh my god Lily is always just like oh Steven I need $3,000 I need $6,000 I need $4,000 and you know you hit me up. I don't think of you like that. You know, I don't think that I have to buy your friendship, right? I didn't pay for this recording studio that I built in my own apartment so we could do a podcast together. The production company paid for it. So
exactly.
I don't
and
think
now
of,
I also
right.
have matching
and you
grommeted
have matching
curtains.
Horrifying grommeted curtains in your home.
I feel like she does a good balance of where she's like, no, well, I get a lot of emails from people who are like, ooh, I'm thinking about starting a clothing line. And she'll just be like, amazing luck with that.
Yeah. She's like, actually, I'm not going to give you money to pay for that. But yeah, because like, there was this one friend who like...
The Madame Tussauds friend?
the friend who like asked for like a wig and a dress for her daughter.
Yes.
And then was like, and so I went out to the store and bought a wig from my own line because I want to see what the customer experience is like. And so then I sent it to her. And lo and behold, a week goes by and I never hear anything from her. And she never tells me that she actually got the wig and like gave it to her daughter. And I had to reach out and ask her, did you get it to her? And she was like, oh, I've been meaning to say thank you. All she had to do was text. And she didn't. And so she stopped, like, giving money to that friend.
Right. Or these favors.
Yeah.
But then there was this other instance where this gay guy who was, like, a wardrobe assistant moves to New York. And she was like, I was not going to, like, give him money. But I also wonder why she wasn't, like, hooking him up with a random PA job. And then, like, he was, like, down and out. But then he gets a job as, like, a wardrobe and makeup stylist at Madame Tussauds. And he's like, see, I don't need to style celebrities. I style them all day. And
like, he's styling wax figures.
Yeah. And he goes and she's like using as such a lesson of like how to get a job because he goes in for the interview and he's like, I do wardrobe. And they're like, we have a wardrobe person, but we need a makeup person. And he was like, you can train me. Like, I'm a hard worker. And they were like, we'll get back to you. Turns out they called him a few days later. Their makeup person didn't work out. They called him and they said, come in, we're going to train you. And she was like, and now he's flying to Nashville for the opening of the Madame Tussauds. And he paid for lunch.
Climbing his way up the Tussauds ladder. I mean, she's very into these stories. So she tells a story about Lupita. How, like, in Kenya, she, like, signed up to be a production assistant or something, like, on the Constant Gardener set. So she could learn, like, craft from Ralph Fiennes. And she's, like, basically just, like, kind of, like, full block quoting this, like, New York Times article about Lupita from, like, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And just being, like... And, like, and Lupita went up to Ralph Fiennes and, like, asked him, like, what she needed to do to be an actor. And he was just like, honey, like, only be an actor if you think that it's, like, you'll die if you're not an actor. And then she worked hard and she continued being a production assistant on other random films. And this article said that she became a success overnight. But you know what? She didn't. And it took her a lot of, like, being around the craft in order to become the craft that she wanted to be. And you're like, okay, so you're kind of, like, calling out the New York Times article for making it seem like it was easy, but it actually took a lot of time. But what she really needed to do was just like be near film sets.
What's so amazing about this book is like right before the insane 50 Cent chapters, like she's mentioning celebrities like a ton and she's just like the Lupita story or is just like, you should have seen the way Will Smith courted Jada Pinkett on the set of Set It Off. Like, which
and she does consider I want to part of the extended Smith family.
Yes. As do I.
Yes. When they're all hanging out at Madison Square Garden and she runs into 50 Cent and Cate Blanchett is there. But like most of the book is like, again, until the 50 Cent like crux. It's like
lessons of business.
It's all lessons. But she's always like finding herself in these like really random just like women's conference settings. Like she's at a baby shower and she's like, and then this like 35-year-old white woman came up to me and was like, can I ask you a question? And she sat down and she told me about her career ambitions. And she had worked in pharmaceutical sales for 10 years, but she did go to musical theater school and she wanted to be an actress. And you're just like, what? Now this book is about you and this random like pharma rep having a conversation at a baby shower?
Well, she talks about her famous Sunday like fun day football gathering.
Wait,
and she's
taco,
like, yeah.
Taco Sundays.
And she's like, Lord, do I love me some huevos rancheros and like mimosas, but like only fresh squeezed orange juice. Because if that shit is not fresh squeezed, just like, Lord, you know, I need to put champagne in that because like once you go fresh squeeze, you can't go back.
I mean, fair. I mean, Tropicana yes. is like totally for fucking babies.
But so she works hard, plays hard. And she realized, so she has like, you know, work star player. And then so she has her Sunday gatherings. And she's like, and I would invite a diverse group of people. I'm talking actors, but I'm also talking producers, but like businesswomen. I mean, it feels too complain this way where it's just like entertainment lawyers and farmer reps it's and always, agents.
It's just like general business. And she's so, because like in that movie, like all of her friends are just like general businesswomen and they're like all holding folders and just like having blazers.
Well, sorry. Actually, I'm calling you in. She's an advertising agent, which is, again, a full inspo for your career.
I guess it is in from career. And she's like, but the rest of them scenes, are. The rest of them, like, are general. And also, like, her work scenes in that movie are her just, like, presenting, like,
I mean, it's all, again, late 90s, early 2000s movies about advertising where you see someone walking in a pantsuit being like, I have a huge account to get. Yeah. And then it's just being like, I was passed up. The account because I'm a woman? No.
Yeah.
And then like goes back in and they're like, wow, Shantae, the account is yours.
The account is yours. You really impressed me in that meeting.
And then she's like, boom, this calls for a night out with the girls. That movie.
And then she famously goes to that nightclub / restaurant and orders, say it with me, pasta with sun-dried tomatoes. What were you about to say?
Well, because Monique orders spaghetti parmigiana.
Okay. No, I know, but Vivica orders pasta with sun-dried tomatoes.
But I just also love the order of spaghetti parmigiana because you're like,
wait, that's like not a thing.
It's not a thing.
Oh, Monique is so funny in that movie.
And she has this whole, I love it, she has this whole page about how, like, Monique almost didn't get the role.
Wait, can you remind me of the story?
It was going to be Tyra Banks.
That's insane.
Yes.
The way Tyra Banks is not a comedian. Sorry.
I mean, Tyra's hilarious.
Tyra is actually one of the most important comedians of, like, our generation, but in a different way.
Yes, in a different way. She is not at the club. Obviously, Tyra has amazing stage presence.
Tyra's kind of more of a conceptual comedian.
Tyra's a performance artist. And
she's a performance artist,
ANTM
yes.
is a endurance.
It's an endurance piece.
It's an endurance piece. But I said, have we told our Monique stand-up story in this pod about how we raced to go see with our fake IDs Monique perform at
the Boston Comedy Connection? We had IDs that said we were 18 plus, so we could go to this 18 plus show, even though we were fucking 16.
And they were like, it's sold out. And like the look in our faces were so like kid at the candy store who's like not getting it. And the guy goes, hold up. We have the Three Stooges seats.
We got these three high top chairs in the back of the Boston Comedy Connection. We thought we were so cool.
And Monique basically, I remember, did 20 minutes about how she would let her son get fucked by Michael Jackson.
She was wearing this beige like blouse dress that within, I don't know, 4 minutes was soaked in pit sweat. And she would just be lifting up her arms and it would just be like drenched. And I was like, this bitch is going all the way off. She's leaving it all on stage.
No, she was maybe having one of her private summers.
Yeah. Referring to menopause.
Yes. Yeah. Vivica calls menopause a private summer. Tyra was going to be cast. They got Monique. They called her. They were like, do you want to be in this Vivica movie? Monique hadn't even read the script. She was like, hell yes. And this is the craziest part about Two Can Play. This is a whole Two Can Play podcast. Is that Vivica turned down the script 3 times because she said, you wrote the character like a bitch. It makes you not like her. And makes you want the guy played by
Morris Chestnut.
Sexy,
smoldering actor.
Morris Chestnut. So you're like, why would Morris Chestnut be with this bitch? And she said the female friendships didn't seem real.
Mm.
And Monique, she said, made the friendship seem real the most.
I mean, amen to that. That's so true.
And there's the scene where they're like, Vivica, what are you going to do when she sees Morris Chestnut dancing with another professional woman?
Okay.
And Monique ad-libs, what you going to do, bitch?
Yeah.
And the director is like, Monique, you wouldn't call your friend a bitch.
And just like, are you kidding? Yeah.
So Vivica's like, so I took him aside.
No, and he's trying to be just like so Christian and reserved, and the girlfriends are just being like, oh no, my dear friend, like, aren't you so offended? Okay, this like relates to another scene in the book. So famously in the movie, so the Vivica goes, I'm gonna go over there and say hey. Which I think like embodies the principle of pay it which is just like, when you pay it, what you are doing is you are basically like killing them with kindness. You are not letting them get to you. You are not pretending like they got under your skin at all. So she walks over to her man, who is like dancing with a coworker that he wants to fuck. And he's on the dance floor at this like combination restaurant nightclub.
Which, can I but just pause you for 1 second? Seeing that movie, I think we both thought our lives, when we grew up, we would always be at a combo nightclub.
No. We're just like heading over to the dance floor and then going back to like a full tablecloth dining situation. Also, it's like,
yeah, let me fill up on spaghetti parmigiana and then like slowly grind. And I still want that dream.
Well, this comes back to your other business idea of like this weird just like digestion lounge.
Right. So no, it's actually combo club digestion lounge.
Restaurant. But so she goes over him and she pays it and she walks over and Manuik is just like, hey, like she's like, can't believe she's going to do this. She goes over and she's just like, hi, Keith. Just like, hope you're having a great night. Like, see you tomorrow or something. And then he like
is shook.
He's so shook. And he like tells his like coworker that he's dancing with that he obviously does want to get frisky with.
Yeah.
He's just like, let's get out of here. And so he's like really caught in the act and he's just like, okay, like, and then the whole movie is about like women are wily and like Anthony Anderson is like in his corner is just teaching him like how to just like beat Vivica at her own games. And Vivica has all these games and it's like this 10-day plan
and it's days
and there's a whole regimen that you're supposed to follow, et cetera. But what's interesting is in this book.
Are you talking about the game?
Well, no, I was talking about when she sees 50 Cent.
At the Knicks game.
Oh, okay, you are talking. Okay.
The game.
Okay, yeah.
You're like, the game. You're like, no, Madison Square Garden.
No, Madison Square Garden. Actually, not a game. I'm talking about a venue.
Okay, go on.
At MSG, in the like, the VIP lounge, which she's like, describing, like, in such detail, she's like, and there was gold ornamentation on the molding like, at the lounge at MSG.
It looks like an old school cigar lounge. So, this is me. So she's like,
and she's already run into Cate Blanchett at this event, by the way, who complimented her on her fashion and was like, oh, hi, Vivica. And she was like, oh, that's right. Oscar winner Cate Blanchett, like, said, I have good fashion.
Yeah. And she made a note. She was like, you might always feel like nervous or just like other people are more successful. And then she's like, here she is, like Queen Elizabeth, just being like, Vivica Fox, I love your style. Also, Vivica goes, and Cate Blanchett was there with her handsome son. And I think her son is like 12. I think I was reading more into it. But
that doesn't seem like Vivica's type.
I think she was just saying maybe to Cate in the book, like, your son is cute.
Because Cate's reading this.
Yeah, Cate's maybe Cate is. We don't know. Don't judge.
I feel like Cate Blanchett is. Actually, I do see her reading a book on her 18-hour flight to Sydney.
I feel like Vivica is like, girl, because she's like, Cate Blanchett said, hey, girl, to me. Like,
maybe
I can.
Cate Blanchett's kind of, you know, we like that, like, one time at the beach where my mom, like, read that J-Lo book in an hour and was just like, she treats marriage like it's nothing. Like, maybe Cate Blanchett is just, like, slamming through 6 books on that flight. And she's like,
I think Vivica sent her a copy.
Yeah.
And I think Cate read it.
Publicist sent her a
copy. Read it on a flight, you know, to London or whatever.
Yeah.
She sent her a short text that said, your book is hilarious.
Yes, exactly.
X.
No, your Cate. Book was a riot.
Right. Yeah, something more British.
Yeah. Okay, so Cate Blanchett, then she runs into Cate Blanchett in the lounge.
The old school cigar
old school lounge.
Lounge
where 50 Cent's there. Cate Blanchett goes, hey, girl. She's like, that's right. So she already is feeling herself in this lounge that her ex, who has been trashing her like on radio shows, social media, which we need to get to.
Yeah.
Is like there.
They've already been through this insane romance where they're wooing, and she said multiple times already that their lovemaking was so special. And basically 50 Cent like went on the Breakfast Club and like a bunch of other radio shows saying like that Vivica was using him for fame and was a quote-unquote, he was kink shaming her, calling her a 50 Shades of Grey dominatrix, and like, was like
saying that like she rimmed him and like tied him up so he like wouldn't have a choice but to get rimmed by her.
Because can I just rim the
because she had called him out on Watch What Happens Live for saying that like he didn't like Empire, and Empire was like failing in the ratings, which is also so Trump of 50 Cent just being like, horrible ratings. That's because like no one liked all the gay shit in Empire, referring to Jussie Smollett's character. This was also definitely written before Jussie Smollett.
She was like, and you know, there's a few times where, because clearly in this book, she's still trying to like backtrack from like her weird comment about her male exotic dancers.
Right.
In the beginning of the book, she's like, if I didn't love gay people already, like, you know, I love my gay fans. And then there's another part where she's talking about like her friend who's a lawyer who transitions from being part of a big firm to becoming a divorce lawyer. And she goes, and she's part of the LGBT community.
That part was so specific and random. And now that makes sense why she included that. Because she was just like, so let's say that you don't know what you want to do in your career. Make a list of all the things that you might want to do. For example, my friend who was a lawyer at a big firm, she like thought that she might want to be a yoga instructor because she loved yoga. But then she thought, I don't know if I can handle all that pressure and does it make enough money? She wanted to make money. And then she thought, I'm already certified as a legal analyst.
And, it's like, and we're like, what is this chapter about? We're like, now this is two chapters about your like friend who like wanted maybe to become a yoga teacher and like leave this big firm.
Decided to become a divorce lawyer. It's like, yeah, she's already a lawyer. Okay, that kind of tracks. And because she's an LGBTQIA lawyer, she can bring that expertise to the table too. And it was like such a general nod to her using her LGBTQ powers for divorce good.
And it's like now she's this full L-word Joyce Wishnia who's like getting like all the high-powered like lesbian divorces. I mean,
okay, but back to the MSG story, because I feel like we're sort of still in this anecdote.
Oh, wait. Yes. But can I read the rimming part? Or do you want to finish that and then I'll read the rimming?
Well, read the rimming part because this leads up to why there's tension in the relationship in the run-in.
Okay. So in November 2015, Andy Cohen had me on Watch What Happens Live. We talked about me being on Empire for the second season, and he asked me what I thought about 50 Cent's comments about my gay themes ruining the show. I went on autopilot and I let my anger do the talking. First of all, you know, the pot called the kettle black.
Ooh.
Is all I'm saying. I said, he's not, I continued. I mean, we had a great time. He just seems like he's got something that's not quite clear.
Oh!
It was an incredible clumsy way of saying it. Well, that did it. I didn't hear from him directly, but he slammed me on his Instagram. Oh no, now she thinks I'm gay because I let her lick my ass? Elmow. Wait, I didn't want her to. She forced me. My hands were tied. 50 shades of gray. Listen, I'm a grown-ass woman. If that was my kink and what I was into, then I would do it. Our lovemaking was so cherished and special to me that it hurt to see him make up stories. But he did get a reaction out of it. It's just kind of like, it sounds like you did rim him. And like, and she's like, I was into rimming.
Well, no, I think what she's saying is that her kink is not like rope play.
Okay.
She didn't tie 50 Cent up. And I see that. I don't think that. She's more into like wearing a lot of strappy outfits, but she's not being so like, I'm tying up 50 Cent. Like, I think that their relationship was pretty, well, I mean, freaky in the sense that, yes, she was rimming him. I don't think it's that weird for a man to get rimmed. I don't think that.
I don't think, I'm not saying
I like for a straight man to get rimmed, I just don't think that's that bizarre. And I don't think that she thinks that bizarre too. I think a lot of guys like that, and they see it as like, I'm getting topped thing, or I'm getting, I'm still the top, I'm getting like serviced thing. So I think that she is referring to like the tying up thing. And it's like, it's so weird that he said that, because it's like, well, that obviously means that like she did rim you and you're just being like, what? Whoa, just because I get rimmed doesn't mean I'm gay. And it's like, I feel like she fully has a point. He like literally is saying that he's gay. Also, there was another point. I felt like this was a very subtle dig when she was talking about, she was like, because there was this point, it was like so crazy, and he was being so toxic and like John Mayer talking shit about her.
So
and like
John Mayer.
Still kind of like dating her, but then like going on a radio show and being like, Vivica A. Fox is like a gold digger and only using me for fame. And then she was like, he was at a time when he was running around with a lot of young boys in his entourage. I felt like that was a little subtle suggestion.
Wow.
In like such a P. Diddy way. Just being like, yeah, he's got a lot of young men at his house. That's all I'm saying. That's it. Not saying anything else. Just saying that there's a lot of young men. That's it.
Celebrity Book Club.
This episode is sponsored by ZocDoc.
You're trying to find a cause for your symptoms.
achy back, headache, runny nose, itchy eye, wart on my genitals.
So let me guess, you stumble down a TikTok rabbit hole full of questionable advice from so-called experts.
Suddenly I have cancer? No thank you.
There are better ways to get the answers you want and the care you deserve from trusted professionals and not random people on the internet. Though randoms, I love you, and my TikTok addiction, yeah, it stands.
But I'm sorry, Lily, you shouldn't be getting medical advice from some girl in her grandmother's basement in Toronto.
ZocDoc helps you find expert doctors and medical professionals that specialize in the care you need and deliver the type of experience you want.
That's right. Ditch the talk, get the doc. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun.
No more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor you haven't met yet.
I love a trusted guide, like the time I climbed to Machu Picchu on the Inca Trail with a team of Sherpas. Millions of people use ZocDoc's free app to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient-reviewed and fits their needs and schedule just right. So find your Sherpa at ZocDoc.com. Go to ZocDoc.com/bookclub and download the ZocDoc app for free.
Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Slay. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZOCDOC.com/bookclub. ZocDoc.com/bookclub.
Ditch the talk. So how he wooed her was it's like her birthday, she gets home and like, she's like, there's a delivery for Vivica. And she's like, okay. And like the flowers come in and she's like, oh, you can put them over here. They're like, oh no, ma'am. Like there's a whole truckload. And then they just bring in just like an entire truck's worth of white flowers into her house.
And then she had to tip the driver because she was like, they were doing so much delivery.
And then she gets this call and it's like 50 Cent's assistant being like, I have 50 Cent for Vivica. And then he's like, happy birthday. I hope you like the flowers.
They're also, their whole down spiral of their relationship is so psycho and just like,
it's so
movie abusive boyfriend. She's literally on a flight because she's on like a Kill Bill publicity.
Okay, and, wait. Also, sorry, but the other tea of that is that she wasn't invited to go to the European Kill Bill premieres.
Which is so fucked up. No.
So fucked
was
up.
Was it the premieres or the publicity tour?
I mean, isn't that the same thing? It's like it's
whatever. Yeah, it's either way, it's fucked up.
The European leg of the junket?
Yes.
Vivica was not invited on. And I don't know if they were being so just like, oh, like you as a black woman aren't going to test well in like the oops or whatever.
Absolutely was a racist move.
European gossip rags or whatever. Or they're just like, you do China, not this or whatever. I don't know. I mean, I thought that was rude and I felt.
Thought it was very fucked up. It's like. Not so many people in that movie.
No.
Why can't you? Also, she says, notedly, I mean, she's always like, and Quentin is an amazing director, but she's like, and I was watching my 200K in my bank account dwindle because I was doing 7 months of Kill Bill martial arts training that I wasn't being paid
for. She wasn't even paid for the training. Like,
and
that's
then
so cuckoo.
And then Quentin was being so psycho director and was like, actually, you guys need to go to China.
Yeah, and you're like, sorry, you need to like fully go to like an actual full monk monastery to like get this training and just be fully the characters. I mean, I really
and there's
liked
that
how honest she was about money and this just being like, so I had $200,000 in my bank account at that time. And that's when she was like married to that like deadbeat.
Yeah.
Who was just like watching TV at home. And then she like kicks him out by just like finding him an apartment and being like, oh, I got you a place. It's like, and $50,000, like we're done. Okay. But back to MSG.
Back to MSG.
So they're at Madison Square Garden. And she sees 50. And he's talked all this shit about her. He called her out on like radio shows, like saying she's a fucking liar. All because
because of the rimming.
All because of the rimming, and all because like she emasculated him by agreeing to host this random like award
show. The World Music Venue Awards
that's like presented by the Prince of Monaco or something so randomly that 50 was getting like an Entertainer of the Year award for, and she agreed to like randomly host. And And she was like, oh, I thought it'd be fun. We could be a couple doing it together. And he felt like so threatened.
Because he was like, this was my night.
Right.
And I want you to be my lady, my guest. My lady.
And you stole it with your wily vixen, va-va-voom body, like being on the stage instead of being in the audience like my silent wife, like you should be.
And it's like, this is that classic, I feel like, relationship thing where sometimes you end up hating the person for the reason why you fell in love.
Wow, that's really interesting. Well.
Like, she was 10 years older than 50.
Right.
She's starring in Kill Bill.
He was, like, impressed by her ambition, by her power, by her self-possession.
Humor, her sexiness.
Right. And then he was like, oh, how dare you shine at this Monaco event?
And he canceled. Turns out he was fully going to, he had like gotten a hold of a print of Kill Bill and like rented out a movie theater and was going to like propose to her and show her Kill Bill in Europe so she could have a European premiere, which is a very cute way to propose. And I hope also to be proposed in Europe with a print of Kill Bill 1.
You love Kill Bill. You don't really, actually.
But, I mean, I love Kill Bill, not as much as you, bitch. You had a Kill Bill poster in your room.
I just, yeah, it's really, really, really psycho and insecure. And, you know, it's the toughest acting guys who are the weakest little faggots on the inside. And maybe that's why he's so scared.
Exactly. So we're back at MSG.
So she sees him and she decides to pay it. And she basically does the I'm going to go over and say, hey, that she doesn't, you can play. Cate Blanchett has said hi. She walks over and she just goes, we're family. And then his, like, one of his, like, entourage just, like, it just, like, leans back and it's just like, oh, thank God, like, we can, like, relax now. And he goes, see, like I said, my first wife. Because he's always saying that, like, you're my first wife, even though we never got married and, like, we'll and be family like, forever
yeah,
in this weird way.
Yeah, some joke.
Some, like, joke. So,
he
yeah.
He gives her a hug. She asks if she can give him a hug.
That was actually so bold of her.
Powerful. And it's like, obviously, he is just a little boy. And he melted.
I feel like it would be very hard for me to do that.
Maybe.
I should do that.
She has amazing. Honestly, this is the best self-help book I've ever read.
Like, I have, not to get too personal, but with exes in the past, current, whatever, it's like, I have felt very, like, don't touch me. Like, now that, like, you know, it's like, if we are not together anymore, it's very just like, there is a moat. There is a moat around the castle of my body. And it's just very just like, and I will exercise, like, the last, like, bit of power that I think I have by being like, no, you can't, like, be in my personal space in that way anymore. But maybe that's actually me being really fearful.
That's
and
fear.
What would happen? What would happen?
What would happen if you let the walls
if
down?
If I let the wall down and said, hey, can I give you a hug? Wow. Oh, my God. I just kind of shocked myself with the possibility that.
Let go of that. The weight that maybe would lift your
I know. Yeah.
Me as your entourage.
Yeah. And you sort of sit back and you take off your flat brim and you're like, dude. Dude.
Literally. Me. Also, I'm like, my fantasy. We're at MSG. I'm taking off my flat brim. We're at Fenway.
We're at the cigar lounge at Fenway.
Imagine running to your ex at the box at Fenway.
Certainly wouldn't happen with any of my exes.
No, sadly, neither of us. That's not going to happen.
So I just think that was very inspiring of her.
It was.
And she is a strong woman.
She's insanely strong. And she has all these reflections on, you know, getting into relationships or feeling like she got married because everyone else was or her friends were married. And, you know, being like, oh, you know, should I go with this guy? Like, and then she has some insanely amazing advice that I feel is so actually Patty Stanger, Millionaire Matchmaker, where again, she's like, she's speaking at a women's business conference in Houston. And a woman is like, can I ask you a question? This is not one of her famous Sunday fun day. She also is obsessed with sports because like her dad was so like, she was like playing basketball as a kid and like she wrestled and like her dad took her to games. So like she actually is Sunday fun day. And like, she's like, yeah, now I actually keep my Sunday fun days just girls. And I'm like, she's like, we're going to do brunch local. And then we're going to go back to my house and watch those men play football in those tight
pants. In those tight outfits.
Before I get to the Houston thing, can we talk about how she introduced Queen Latifah to sushi?
Okay, do you have the passage?
No, but I'll summarize. Basically, set it off. The director was like, I want you guys to, like, be...
Which, I'm sorry, in the movie Set It Off, like, Queen Latifah is basically, like, openly gay.
Queen Latifah is a lesbian in Set It Off.
Right. Like, but I feel like they don't actually say it in this way, but it's, like, the whole thing is, like...
She's with Jada. Have you seen Set It Off?
I've seen it, but I feel like they don't actually say that they're a couple in this really psycho way.
Yes.
Where they're both, like, dressed as lesbians, like, being lesbians, being just, like, you mean so much to me.
No. They, like...
But they, like, don't have, like... It's not like they don't, like, kiss.
But, no. So, like, Queen Latifah is, like, fully butch, and I feel like... And Jada's her femme, and yes. She does, like, grind on her. And she'll be like, that's my girl.
I feel like it was still a coded reference. Yes, like, you watch it today, and you're like, literally, Queen Latifah is the butch, and Jada is her femme. But, like, there was this weird thing about that movie where they were like, no, like, people will watch this and not necessarily think. They'll just be like, yeah, like, Queen Latifah's a badass chick.
Right, like a big, like a sturdy.
Sturdy badass.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because Vivica also isn't like, and Queen Latifah, one of my good friends, who's also part of the, maybe Queen Latifah wasn't fully out.
I don't think she's fully out in 2018.
So insane.
Yeah. I mean, she's, like, still not fully out in this weird way.
No, she thanked her wife at the BET Awards this week. I mean, this week.
This week?
This year. And it was like a big deal.
Right. Okay.
And she was like, I couldn't have done it without whoever her wife is.
Deborah.
Like, yeah. Basically, anyway, they're like, you guys need to hang out, and her, Jada, and Queen Latifah, like, hang out and have so much fun. And then she's like, we're going to get sushi. And Queen Latifah is like, I don't need anything that's raw. And she's just like, you need to try this. And so then Queen Latifah finally tries sushi and she loves it. So now every single time Vivica and Queen Latifah hang out, they eat sushi as an homage.
Insert joke about Queen Latifah not wanting to eat raw fish here.
No, literally they're good. Okay. It's full 50 Cent repression because she quotes Queen Latifah being like, I ain't going to eat nothing raw. And it's like, ha.
No not taste for fish, huh?
No, yeah.
Okay, wait, can I read the section about the taco sundaes, though?
Yep.
Okay, so this is also, like, this is presented as just, like, basically how to just, like, hang out with friends, like, on a budget.
Oh!
People sometimes want to host gatherings, but they think they have to impress people with elaborate and extravagant meals. They work themselves to the bone, waste a lot of money, and don't have a good time. Their guests don't either. They stand there awkwardly, worriedly offering to help, then can't have a real conversation until they're in their car saying, never again! It's better to have a simple gathering and understand that you and the good people you invite are the draw. You don't need to have a big place either. I know a young woman in New York who has a group of about five or six friends who meet every 2 months for something they call champagne and chipotle. When whoever's turn is to host orders the burritos,
we're doing this.
And each guest just has to bring an inexpensive bottle of Prosecco or a nice bottle of champagne if they're doing well. Another cool way for people to gather to talk when you're minding a budget is choosing a restaurant where everyone pays their own way. Upscale cafeteria-style restaurants are becoming increasingly popular, and they help you avoid the six separate checks, or worse, the dreaded math of, well, you had a cappuccino, ... because not everyone has a Vivica to pick up the check for the group. Remember, your Vivica doesn't always want to be picking up the check either. Yes!
I scream when she mentioned upscale market halls. I'm like, I mean, in a way, I am just like, yeah.
Yeah, everyone can go off to whatever bowlery that they want to, and we can all meet back at a communal table.
We're going to, like, the DeKalb Market, Times Square Market Hall.
We're going to Little Mercado Little Spain at Hudson Yards. It's probably going to business already.
And it's just being like, I'm picking up my small paella.
Right.
You're getting a sushi roll bowl, you know.
Our other friend who's maybe not doing so well is getting just some jamon to go. And an espresso. And, you know, we're having our Negronis.
Right.
We're having Negronis. We're raking it over here.
We're doing
Brooklyn
well. I have my friends over, and we just all lay on my sheets. I mean, but I think she does as insane as and also accurate as the upscale market food halls. She is right where I think you can, like, freak out about, like, you know, it's like there's nothing worse than, like, a tense host who's, like, waiting for their paella that they make to, like, timed ready. I mean, obviously, there's a difference. If you're an amazing cook and amazing host, there's a gorgeous dinner party and you can pull it off.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's also like you want to have friends over, get some takeout, have drinks, people come over, relax.
Yeah. I mean, the money thing is a different thing, though, because it's just like, I mean, I guess it's like, I mean, one thing she says about the giving money thing is it's kind of like she gets starts to get angry at friends who like don't pay her back or like don't thank her enough or whatever. And it's kind of just like,
her gay assistant calls her out for that.
Yeah. And he's just like, it's like, then it sounds like you didn't want to like lend her the money in the first place. If you were just doing it because you either like wanted her validation or wanted her compliments or wanted her to like act a certain way to you. It's like, if you're going to give someone money, you kind of have to be willing to just like part with it. And like, you're giving them because you want them to have that money.
Right. You want to thrive, and it's like,
right,
just be a better friend. And I think probably she feels, because she talks about the balance of friendship. Well, she talks about, she has an insane falling out with two friends, and that's completely insane. And I feel like this is her triple apology about writing it in the book, is that like she introduced these two women and like,
oh, and then they started like hanging out together, was still like the best friend. And then she like,
she wrote
commented
them?
Something really bitchy on Instagram about it.
No, I also
couldn't believe the Instagram drama of just like Taraji commenting on 50 Cent's Instagram. And this is like public knowledge or whatever.
Yeah, just being like, bullies are not cool.
Right. And it's just like, wow, they're really just like fully being public about this.
I remember
he's
like,
since deleted that post.
When that happened, and it just like kind of being wild. And I'm like, she and like Taraji being like, I will not get in the drama, but like, this is too crazy. I have to post.
There's, so go on.
I'm like upscale market halls, women's conferences.
Okay,
Houston.
Okay, first of all, the part where she talks about learning how to be submissive at a women's conference. Well, when she's like saying, because she's like, she's not used to letting men do things for her. And then she was like, I was at a women's conference when I heard someone say, and a lot of the time you need to learn how to let someone do something for you because I wanted to be too self-sufficient. No, are you the type of person who always says, oh, I got that. And just like, she's just being like, oh, I'm always just like not letting someone like put my carry-on in the overhead compartment.
Right, because you want to be this strong woman.
You want to be this strong woman. And like, actually, you do need to just like let a man woo you. But then she's like, men aren't peacocks anymore. In the animal kingdom, peacocks are restoring their feathers. And men do not woo. And I will say, it's true.
Well, and my exterminator also said that men don't woo anymore. They just want to hang out and watch porn.
They literally want to hang out.
And it's like, what happened to filling a truckload of flowers in your dressing room on the set of a film?
Yeah, exactly.
What happened to that?
Literally, where's the wooing?
Just one more thing about a Houston conference is when this woman is like, where can I meet men? I want him to like have money, have a job, do all this. And she's like, bitch, like, who do you want to meet? Prince Charming. She's like, where am I going to meet him? Bars. And she goes, the type of man you're looking for is not a wasted finance guy at 2 a.m. This man golfs, plays tennis, or is in a running club. But then she goes, don't be taking expensive golf lessons. Go to the driving range and get a bucket of balls for $10. And then, like, this male police officer, like, winks at her from the side and is like, hell yes.
Hold on, I have the passage here, because this part is absolutely, completely insane. Because she's saying that she wants this guy to be rich.
Yeah.
And so the woman's like, I should take golf lessons then. Look, you won't be the first person to realize that successful men golf, I replied. So don't bother with the silly lessons or sailing classes unless you really want to learn. It will be all women looking for men. Trust me. I'm just like, sorry, what's this sailing class
obsessed.
That's all women
These
looking
like
for a rich man?
Thirsty, thirsty gold diggers, like a full driving range full of gold diggers.
So then sign up for a cute little fun run or check out the driving range. A bucket of balls will cost you most $10. A small investment can have a big return. I love this idea of doing like a 5K at just like this random golf at like the Trump links to try
run.
And meet this just like rich guy. Be like, I just did a 5K. Yeah, I care about charity too. What are your favorite charities?
Isn't that so rom-com to do like, there's a run called like this is a tip for our single listeners. There's a run called the Turkey Trot, I guess. I would never do this in Prospect Park.
Oh, wait, this is the jump
It's in Thanksgiving. It's
Thanksgiving where you jump in the cold water.
No, that's Polar Bear.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
But that could be a place to meet an adventurous man.
Yes.
New Year's Day, jump in cold water.
Yeah.
No, where it's like you run a quarter mile or something like that. And it's like, that's a man who's waking up.
Yes.
He's not drunk from Blackout Wednesday.
Thank you. Blackout Wednesday. Wait, that's before like Black Friday?
Wednesday is the day before Thanksgiving. Do you know it's the drunkest night of the year?
Really?
Yes. It's a little fact for you.
Because everyone has the day off the next day. Okay, so then she goes, seriously, but then this is also, this actually is really good advice. But seriously, just try going to a really fabulous restaurant on your own and buy yourself a drink at the bar. Dress up like you would for a first date with this person you have in mind and don't show up looking like the thirst trap. Guys are going to notice. And if you notice an attractive man doesn't have a ring and he's by himself, why don't you offer to buy him a drink?
Hell yes.
Don't wait for a man to do something. If you're interested in someone, ask him to dinner. And that's when the police officer stands up and goes, that's good advice, Vivica. That would get my attention.
But then it's like, okay.
Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry, it gets even better. Hold on. But if you're saying, oh, God, I don't care how much he makes, I'm just tired of meeting jerks. Oh, right. Well, then think about where nice, civic-minded guys congregate. They volunteer for charities. They get involved in political campaigns and initiatives.
I'm dead. She's like, look.
She's lurking around like the yes on four proposal and trying to meet some civic-minded gentleman.
Well, she is always talking about how she volunteered for Madame Hillary Clinton.
God, I mean, having worked in politics, I will tell you that guys who work in politics are so boring.
Yeah, but also so are probably the women that are going to women's conferences. I mean, not all of them, but I mean, like,
I mean, some of them are like really fat.
I'm sure. I mean, a lot of straight men are also just boring.
That's true. And that's what you're just going to have to deal with. That's your decision.
But I'm also like this 5K. I love that the 5K is for rich athletic guys, but for like poor, just not general jerks, is charities.
Is more charities, political campaigns and initiatives.
I think actually guys working at charities probably do have a good amount of money.
Well, it depends on the charity. If they're being like so bored about a charity, but if they're just like working at a nonprofit.
No, not working at a nonprofit. I'm talking about a guy volunteering.
Oh, I see. No, if you volunteer somewhere
for like San Diego cleanup.
Yeah. Like, because it's just like you have the time to go volunteer and you're just right. Like, I want to add a little more meaning to my life.
Right. Like, you're like looking for a reason because you're like, wait, I'm not giving back.
Right. I'm not giving back. And just like your job is just like you're on spreadsheets and like you don't care.
So, bitch, let's volunteer.
Okay. Her part about like trying to figure out like what your dream man is, she's like, go through and write all your exes and just like,
oh, and like try to disrupt the pattern.
Try to disrupt the pattern.
Which she also says with jobs too, and that's how we got to her LGBT divorce lawyer.
Okay,
part.
But can I just, so I did write down though what I want my dream man to
be. Oh my God, okay.
As you know, I am single, and that is something that, you know, is I'm not looking for right at the moment, but is something that maybe I want to manifest. Okay, so I was hoping that maybe I could read this list and you could tell me where I should look, if I should go to a golf course.
Okay. I'm so ready for this.
Okay.
So I'm Vivica. We're in Houston.
We're in Houston. I'm in the audience. Excuse me, Vivica.
Woman in the salmon. Stephen is wearing a very St. John Montego Bay Jimmy Buffett color right now of salmon.
But it's like a salmon skirt suit.
Yeah. You're in like a matching salmon skirt and it hugs your curves. As she says, talking about finding a great tailor, I'm suited and booted.
Vivica, I've been looking everywhere for a certain type of man. His name is Oliver. His father works for the World Trade Organization.
I hate the name Oliver. I'm sorry.
Okay. He might be a journalist. He could also be a human rights lawyer as well, or an artist, but like some sort of like conceptual or video artist.
Okay.
He has a really big dick. He's 35. He's very gregarious and outgoing. He doesn't have a PhD and he's top verse.
Wow. Okay. First, I think you need to go to galleries alone because I think we're always drawn to the gallery opening.
Right.
And absolutely keep on doing that.
Sure.
But I think you need to just have a date with New York City. You know, don't like put your phone inside and just go to some galleries and actually see the art.
Right.
And see who else is saying, hey, I'm actually going to check out the art, not get this free little plastic glass of wine and talk to people. Human rights lawyers, that I'm saying join a league of some sort. I mean, I think
it's like a rugby league.
I think a rugby league. I do think doing this turkey trot on Thanksgiving, maybe you could.
Okay. I guess this guy is, I mean, the irony is like, I do go to the gym now, so it's, I'm not like anti-athlete. And the turkey trot's only a quarter mile.
Maybe it's 3/4 mile.
Okay, that's totally doable though.
I definitely think the turkey trot, maybe a few days before it, you're like, oh, I'm training.
Right.
For the turkey trot.
And so I'm going to like the track or something? And just I'm meeting the park, this guy?
Like Central Park.
Okay.
Maybe start exploring Central Park more.
Okay. That's where this non-PhD top verse is hanging out.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting. Oliver, is it a gregarious name? I don't know. I don't know why I'm against the word Oliver. Maybe that's just work I need to do.
I guess to me, Oliver is like, there's like something really kind about it.
It is kind. It just has this like precious boyishness to me.
Oh, absolutely. I know it is. It's a faggoty name for sure. Yeah. But I guess it's like, I want him to have all of these like super masculine qualities, but then he has this like kind faggoty name. So I know that he's actually not such a total asshole. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that kind of balances that. That is more, I think that actually goes in the list. Write that down. I want someone looking for these kind of strong masculine qualities, but sweet.
Yes.
Not, you know, someone who won't go on the Breakfast Club and say,
yeah,
you know, yeah, oh, Steven, you know, tied me up and, you know, rimmed me for 8 hours because he's like addicted to rimming.
I mean, that would be fine if that got out.
Well, I feel like you want that.
Yeah.
I don't know, 50.
I mean, that comes back to the Jessica Simpson, John Mayer thing where I'm just like, if someone said that, like, my body was sexual napalm, I would definitely be pro that information.
You know, but she also has a thing, you know, look around, you know, when you're hanging out at 3, 4 a.m., are those people that are pushing you in your career? Are those the people that will get you, you know, that role, that lawyer's office?
Right.
You're looking at me being like, this bitch,
yeah, at 3 a.m. No, I
this
mean,
bitch isn't getting me.
No, and she's not getting me anywhere.
Literally segment boots.
What does she eat?
What does she wear?
How does she live? Damn. Okay, well, what does she eat? As we know, she loves CPK and PF Chang's.
And Red Lobster.
Yeah.
I mean, she's classic Hollywood. Sunday is her cheat day. She'll go with the crew. She has a biscuit. She has huevos rancheros. It's Sunday fun day. She's having mimosas.
She knows the entire menu at CPK by heart.
But definitely the rest of the week is like 3 blueberries, grilled chicken. Spice it up with some lemon.
Yeah. I mean, I assume that she's having some sort of supermarket delivery service where she's getting just like 16 frozen chicken breasts.
Yeah. And if they're each like 6 hours. She's very like, I can cook, but I don't have the time.
Yeah. I guess she's probably also eating on set a lot of just like.
Well, she has that note about, she was like, here's the thing about sets. Craft keeps you fed.
Yeah.
Which I know from my one day on set night maintenance, and I had like never been more full.
No, I know. I remember the last time I was on set for Girls season 5 in like 2012.
Our ancient HBO appearances.
I remember there was just like the hugest meatball spaghetti parmigiana, and it was just like 800 of like the largest union teamsters just like loading up on the largest meatball you've ever seen and like blowing up every bathroom within like a 10-mile radius.
And you're like, oh, right. You can't like, you're not supposed to eat like the gaffers.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, I feel like I had like a make your own burrito bowl, but also they were just like every second being like, do you want a coffee? And like, I'm such a Java addict that I was like, yeah, I want a cold brew every second after having like a
and I was being so, and obviously like Lena and like Allison Williams were having like one leaf and I was just being like, well, I'm having the salad, but I'm also having a little bit of the pasta salad and then I'm having a full meatball and then I'm like creating such a Thanksgiving dinner.
Right. That's so mean. Her advice is also again, so 90s about like dressing where it's kind of like, that's not really what's killing you there. Where she's like, here's a tip. She says, have the dressing on the side, dip your fork in the dressing first. Then.
That's such crazy fat girl camp advice.
I know,
it's like, that's not how it works.
And I'm just like, I don't know if this like fork of like creamy Caesar, she's also like, do not believe, it's just so like Newman's Own dressings, like don't believe low fat dressings because they're full of sugar. It's very pre-dressing culture.
Yeah, it's very pre-dressing culture. Very pre
Ken's,
like,
Ken's.
Well,
Paul
she's
Newman's.
Not cooking. She's not making her own dressing.
She's right? Like,
she's not, Vivica's not squeezing a lemon.
No. So anyway, yeah, she's pre-ordered grilled chicken. What does she wear? I mean,
we know what she wears.
Pantsuits, insane dresses, leather boots, go to Bergdorf's, but like also vintage.
Well, now, as she describes in the book, like she's come into her more like grown, sexy woman style.
Yes.
And she doesn't like, I think early in her career, she was really like, I've got tits and I've got ass and I need to lead with that. And like, I'm going to wear,
you know,
like,
I'm getting a stretchy material.
Right. So she's getting a lot of stretch, like a lot of lame. And also, you know, it was like, whatever, it was the 2000s and like everyone was doing that. I mean, the outfit she wears for her 50 Cent and her like couple debut at the like MTV Movie Awards, like it's completely insane. And she was just like, she let this designer like go wild and create a custom creation that like spoke to her sense of design. But it was just like, it's like so silver, like alligator skin, like strappy everywhere, like short, like mini skirt with like so many cutouts on the side. And then her hair is just like bangs, curls, and then like blue highlights in the wigs. And then like... some crazy show.
She'll also, I mean, classic, she like gets a bebe dress and she's like, oh, this is fine. And then she sees the photos and she's like, okay, I should have like found something like really true to me, and is very like, don't buy 10 cheap bags, buy one good bag a year.
And that's true. I feel like with accessories, especially, a good bag really matters. Another two things that she definitely wears, Spanx.
Oh, she goes, shapewear is my friend.
It's also her just being so Shark Tank and being like, and I love their female founder, Sarah Blakely, because she's an inspiration to women everywhere who want to keep a little bit of it in.
Okay, what? How does she live? So we know she, like, when she meets Quentin and he's like, I want you for this role, she's like, come to my house, but like, don't judge me for it. And she's like, I know he was probably thinking I'm a hoarder. But then he was actually surprised that, like, her house was, like, so glam. And it was so, like, spiral staircase and, like, it's plush.
It's definitely velvet. It's definitely plush. My question is, like, is it, like, a cream couch, a puffy white leather couch, or is it, like, a black couch?
I think it's cream couch, marble floors, tight.
Marble floor.
I think part of it is marble.
I think there's marble countertops. I don't know. That's feeling almost more like a Persian kind of luxury to me.
Because, okay, I think she has obviously like a lounge cocktail, like maybe white leather couches. But I think her Sunday Funday couch is one of the biggest sectionals like you've ever seen.
Okay, the Sunday Funday couch is different. Is it more just like...
I'm imagining these two curved white...
You're talking about the main like sitting room salon is more these creamed curved couches.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that. My other big question is there animal print?
Yes.
Okay.
I think, absolutely.
In the main areas, not just the bedroom?
I think it's touches. Like, I don't think it's so insane, but I think there'll be, like, maybe a tiger, a faux tiger, splayed.
Oh, wow.
Rug.
Okay.
Or it could just be a print.
Maybe it is that. Yeah, no, I guess she is, like, pretty, like... fabbing out there and has been like working on a career for a long time, so maybe she does like have pieces that are a little bit more statement like that, because you're saying the spiral staircase to me, that does scream, you know, something unique.
I also wonder, she like sold her house after the divorce and like made a bunch back,
yeah,
which is another one of her amazing financial decisions.
She like didn't divorce her husband until she could figure out that she could sell the house.
Yes. And it was like, she was like on the Kill Bill tour and like her gay assistant, I'm assuming, calls her and she was like, this better be good. Like,
yeah. Or she's like in China training.
Yeah.
And she's just, and he's like, I found someone to buy your house. She's like, this bitch better not be lying. And I could tell that he was on the other end, just like acting normal, like he wasn't talking to a crazy person.
So I wonder if her house now, if she is a little more just like Shark Tank and like she is a single woman, like I wonder if she downsized.
You don't think it's so marble now? You think she's more like mahogany kitchen?
I mean, I'm sure the kitchen is still marble, but maybe she like balled out at first.
But it could be, like, I'm saying it would be mahogany cabinets and like marble countertop.
I can see that. Well,
she also loves, I guess we didn't put this in, what does she eat? But she loves Core hydration water. It's my newest discovery. It keeps you hydrated and matches your body's pH balance. I just know I like it. I just know I like it. It's like, what? Why is this an ad for Core? Who asked?
I mean, maybe she does do a sponsorship with Core and she's like, I'll throw it in the book.
Incredibly subtle sponsorship.
But then she's also being like, my beauty secret, you got it, lemon. Throw it on the grilled fish. Throw it on your face. Lemon water, lemon water, lemon water.
She is squeezing lemons. I literally just said 2 seconds ago she wasn't squeezing a lemon.
No, you said that.
Okay, you agreed with me.
Well, I don't think she's squeezing lemons a lot. I think once a month she is like at her kitchen, like in kind of a you way. Oh, I guess this. Who are you in the book?
Oh, my Vivica squeezing. I mean, I just squeezed fresh lemon juice into water.
Yeah, I think you're Vivica once a month squeezing lemon on a grilled chicken.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to do that with our home chef meal.
I mean, I actually think you are kind of Ivica.
It's a huge compliment.
Absolutely.
You know, reading this book, I felt a little called out. I felt like I wasn't Vivica. Like, I haven't gone, you know, and she's like, you need to dream bigger. You need to be more ambitious. You know, you need to, like, really work out and go after what you want. And I'm like, I'm not, you know, my dreams aren't big enough. That's, you know, I feel like I'm so mired in the minutiae.
Yeah, I actually do think you have some work to do, but thank I you. Think you can be her.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's a huge compliment.
Because I think you are driven. Mm. Powerful. But I think you need to get out that journal.
Yeah.
And write down the goals.
Well, I started, I mean, it was kind of ironic. I mean, I was like, literally today, she's talking about moving on and like figuring out what you want. And like, is she talking about getting rid of her ex's stuff at some point in this book? It's like, she talks about like, I guess like kicking the...
just the guy out.
Just kicking the ex-husband out or whatever.
No, she talks about how like all of her girlfriends came over and like packed up the U-Haul when she moved out of that house.
Yes. Okay. So I was literally listening to her talk about that as I was in my bedroom today.
Mm-hmm.
Getting rid of clothes.
Hmm.
That belonged to Redacted. And I was like... wow, like this is what life is. It's about putting stuff in the U-Haul and moving the fuck on. But that's only one piece of it. It's like the other piece is just like...
doing the work, forgiving. Like, because I feel like with that ex, she was just being like, oh, this fool was a deadbeat. But she was also like, I was in love at some point. And just like, he wasn't a horrible person.
You know, yeah, you need to do the work to like mourn properly and like do the proper analysis and all the work to look back. But then you also need to do the work to look forward and be like... you know, what do I really want from life? And it can't just be like, oh, I want, you know, let me like find the next guy who, you know, makes six figures and go golfing. It has to be just like, well, what do I really want my life to look like?
Yeah.
Where do I want to live? How do I want to live? What do I want to wear?
What do you want to wear? Right. What do you want to be? What do you want to eat?
And so, you know, there's bigger questions you have to ask. What shape do I want my apartment to be, right?
What shape do I want my shapewear to be?
Well, and you are asking that question to yourself when you're going to be answering that very soon.
And I will be changing that.
Exactly. So I guess in some ways you're also Vivica. I mean, obviously you're also the friend who's sort of asking for money sometimes.
I mean, right. Which friend? Like, it's like, I do think I'm absolutely texting back when you send the dress.
Oh, no. Absolutely. No.
But like, maybe I'm car payment.
Yeah, and you know, and you've been doing a good job saving. Like, you haven't asked me for several thousand dollars in a long time.
I don't think I've ever asked you for several thousand dollars.
That's not true.
Well, actually, what am I talking about? That's fully not true. Redacted. No, yeah, that's true. Okay. I haven't asked you for, I'm correcting myself and calling myself in. I haven't asked you for several thousand dollars
in a while.
Quite, in a while.
And
yeah.
And now you're being so like Miss Bank Account Savings, just like getting her Roth IRA in order.
No, and I am calling and I'm like, girl, I hate to ask this, but.
Yeah.
So.
And you're being like taking out the card and being like, I got this sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes. And that's me going to New York and getting the job at Madame Tussauds.
Yes. Okay. And ultimately, we both work at Madame Tussauds.
Yeah. I mean, more we are the gay, like living in Hell's Kitchen, working at Madame Tussauds. Okay. I pronounce that differently every time. I give this book 10 pantsuits out of 10. Sorry. It's fabulous.
Yeah, it's fab. I think it's like, I think there's
yeah,
like
it's not the best. It's
not the best book. I mean, honestly, like, well, I like there isn't a ton of juice. We didn't really talk about the childhood, whatever. It's like very like she kind of skips over it too. Like,
she's just like playing basketball.
She had parents.
And, like,
it's very just like they were good. Like they were sad, but
Mom,
they were fine.
My sister
Mom
took care
hard.
Of me.
Yeah, like she's like, let me give you my sister's black eyed peas recipe for like three pages.
Yeah, and then she's like, and anyway,
and like make sure to take the water out like after 3.5 hours. Like, okay, got it. But then all of a sudden she just like goes full hog on 50 Cent and like unloads all of this dish and just like calls him a monster and like a liar. But then is also like, but ultimately, like, yes, he's a devil, but like we have made peace.
And obviously I love, as I assume you do, all the women's conference asides. And
there's a ton of women's conference asides in there. Yeah,
and it's a really easy read.
Yeah. Or an easy speed listen on Audible, which I listen to at 1.4 speed.
I wish I kind of listened to Audible because I love for voice. So yeah, I mean, I guess 10 out of 10 is extreme. I guess I'm kind of on a high for me. I feel good. Feeling good after reading this.
I feel good too. It definitely lowers the heart rate.
Yeah.
But like in a, you know, in a positive way, if you're feeling anxious about something or whatever, if you're if there's something interfering with your happiness lately,
yeah,
and you've been considering getting 10% off a BetterHelp subscription,
you could also
read Every Day I'm Hustling by Vivica A.
or
Fox.
Listen to it on a car ride, on a walk.
Yeah, I will give it 4 out of 5. Really incredible designers that I allow to sort of explore their creativity when they dress me.
Amazing.
For events. next week,
it's going to get a little bit rock and roll.
Super wild in here.
Fuck yeah. Get naked, put a sock on your dick, because we are reading
Anthony Kiedis' book,
Scar Tissue.
Which is also the name of a song by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
You know it. Rock and roll.
Yeah, they're okay. A fucking band. And as you know, we are rock historians.
Rock and rollers. Get ready for another.
Ready to learn, bitch.
Yes. Blast it up. It's not a phrase.
Thanks so much for all your support. And again, like, leave a review.
We love them. Keep them coming. Best.
Celebrity Book Club is presented by Prologue Projects and HeadGum. The show is produced by Meg Murnane with editorial support from Leon Nafak, Andrew Parsons, and Madeline Kaplan, one of my best girlfriends, and she's also my realtor. Our production manager is Persia Verlin, who also does my makeup. Engineering by Ferris Manchi. He's beautiful. Original theme song by Stephen Phillips Horst. Great guy. I really trust him. And it's hard to find people you can trust in this town. Artwork by Teddy Blanks at Chips NY. Follow us on Twitter at CBC The Pod. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Leave us a review. And don't forget to tell your friends about us.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.